In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One might wonder why God has appointed that there be a last judgment, a second judgment, after the first one has taken place, and after the eternal lot of the soul is already determined. St. Thomas says that the reason for the last judgment is that judgment cannot be given perfectly concerning any action until the action is complete in itself and all results of the action have taken place. For example, in medicine, judgment cannot be made concerning the value of a medicine until all of its side effects are determined. The effects of a man's life cannot be perfectly judged at his death, since these effects have not all taken place. The effects of a man's life live on in the following ways. First, a man's life lives in the memory of those who survive. In this case, good or evil reputations live on, sometimes falsely. There is need, therefore, for a final judgment to set straight the reputation of all. Secondly, a man's life lives on in a certain way in his children, who are something of the parent. Therefore, judgment must be rendered concerning how the children have been raised. Yet it remains true that evil parents can have good children, and good parents can have evil children. Parents will be judged, therefore, not on the sins of their children, which they did not contribute to, but only on those sins in which they had a part through bad upbringing or bad example as parents. Thirdly, men will be judged on the long-term effect of their actions. Henry VIII, for example, has caused 400 years of sin. And the effects of his sin will probably continue until the end of the world. Conversely, the preaching of the apostles continues to have an effect even to the present day. And it is fitting that they should be rewarded for all of the good effects of their preaching and their zeal. In a fourth way, the disposition of each man's body must be met with justice. Sometimes the wicked have been buried with honor, and the good have been treated with shame. In some cases, the bodies of the martyrs have been left to be eaten by dogs. All of these things must be righted in the final judgment. Fifth, man must be judged according to those things upon which he has set his heart, some of which last a long time. Thus, a man who has set his heart on obtaining large amounts of money must be judged on the effects of that amassing of money, whether good or bad. Let us now pass to an examination of the final judgment itself. St. Thomas Aquinas describes the last judgment in the following way. First, Christ will appear in the heavens and assemble before himself all mankind. Thus our judgment will take place in the presence of all. He will speak, says St. Thomas, of the greatness of his passion, and show all of the instruments of his death. He will show the wounds which he suffered for the love of us. In the Apocalypse it says, "Every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him." And he was clothed with garments sprinkled with blood. Christ will then accuse the sinner by his wounds. and his death will cry out for justice. In the second place, there will be a discussion of omissions of good works which should have been performed. In St. Matthew it says, I was hungry and you gave me not to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me not to drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you covered me not. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Thirdly, the evil thoughts of the sinner shall be looked into and judged. In the Book of Wisdom it says, inquisition shall be made into the thoughts of the ungodly. Next, there will be the examination of intentions of heart. And after this, we shall be judged concerning sinful words. In St. Matthew, it says, every idle or sinful word that men shall speak, they shall render an account for it on the day of judgment. Next, our evil actions will be examined. Wisdom says, the Lord will examine your works and search out your thoughts. After this, we will be judged on how we used our things. As it says in the Gospel, render an account of thy stewardship. Following this, we shall be judged on how we cared for our family, not only in a temporal manner, but more importantly, in a spiritual way. Finally, we shall be judged on the use of our time. In Job, it says, God has given to man time and place for penance, and he abuseth it unto pride. St. Thomas says that the accusers against the sinner will be three. The first is man's own conscience. In his epistle to the Romans, St. Paul says, their consciences bearing witness to them, and their thoughts between themselves, accusing, or also defending one another, on the day in which the Lord will judge the secrets of men's hearts. The second accuser is the devil, who is man's tempter, and who continually observes our activities. The third set of accusers will be the places in which man sinned and the persons with whom he sinned. In the book of Habakkuk it says, the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the timber that is between the joints of the building shall answer. Father will accuse his own son, and son will accuse his own father. Sons will reproach their fathers for bad example, the reason for which they themselves are now being condemned. In Wisdom it says, for the children that are born of unlawful beds are witnesses of wickedness against their parents in their trial. In addition to these three accusers, there will be three witnesses. The first is the Creator whom we have offended. In Jeremiah it says, because they have committed adultery with the wives of their friends and have spoken lying words in my name, which I commanded them not to do, I am the judge and the witness, saith the Lord. The second witness will be the guardian angel sent to protect each man. He will bear witness against the sinner for much ingratitude. The third witness will be the stain of sin, which will be apparent on men's faces. In Jeremiah we read, thy own wickedness shall reprove thee, and thy apostasy shall rebuke thee. While the Last Judgment is something filled with dread for the sinner, at the same time, it will be a glorious day for those who love God. For in it, they will be vindicated before all mankind. All evildoers who have not been punished in this life will be exposed to all and will be eternally punished. Persecutors and oppressors will finally meet with ignominy and disgrace. Those who have sent the martyrs to their excruciating deaths will then be denounced, condemned, and punished in accordance with their crimes. The scales shall be forever balanced, and the glory of God forever set aright. No more shall evil be tolerated, but the cockle shall be pulled up and gathered and set on fire, and the wheat shall be gathered into the barn. After the last judgment, no human being shall again be conceived. Sin shall disappear from the universe, and each creature of God will have received his just due, each according to his works. We have nothing to fear from the justice of God, therefore, if we are without sin, either if we have never committed a sin, or if we have confessed our sins with contrition and have persevered in the way of grace. We can see, however, from what has been said, that it is important to make up for the damage of past sins, lest this damage be held against us at the last judgment. We will not be judged for things which lie beyond our control, but we will be judged for those effects which we were able to repair, or those evils which we were able to prevent. We should also resolve to use our time wisely, not to spend it frivolously on excessive entertainments such as addiction to sports or even dirty pastimes such as TV and movies, but to spend it on the glory of God, that is, the fulfillment of our duties of state and life, the contemplation of the things of God, the building up of his church, the salvation of souls. We know not the day nor the hour. The Catechism of the Council of Trent, which was compiled in the 1560s, mentions three things which must be fulfilled before the Last Judgment. The first is the preaching of the gospel to the whole world. The second is the general apostasy from the faith. The third is the coming of the Antichrist. Although none of these things had taken place in the 1560s, when the Catechism was written, we can now say that the first two have taken place, and that the third is probably not far off. Whatever the time of the Last Judgment, we know that it will come. Let it be a reminder to us to live our lives every day with the same scrutiny that they will receive on the last day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.